This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas-salah. Hayya 'alas-salah. Hayya 'alal-falah. Hayya 'alal-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today our khutbah is about our role and what we're to do about the situation in Gaza and in Lebanon and in Sudan and other parts of the world. For sure, no one expected that this would continue for longer than a year. So what is required upon us? The first thing is to not lose hope. To not lose hope that ease will come for the people of Gaza, to not lose hope that victory will come for the people of Gaza. And that's based on at least 2 points for now. One is that we were the ummah that was designed by Allah Azza wa Jal to never ever lose hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. We're the ummah that recites Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. And in Surah Al-Kahf, we're reminded of this theme of difficulty and then ease coming from Allah Azza wa Jal. Of tests or defeat and then victory and success coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Kahf, we see a test in wealth, the story of the two gardens. We see a test in power, the story of Dhul-Qarnayn. We see a test in knowledge, the story of Musa alayhi salam with Al-Khadr. We see people tested in their religion, the story of the young man and the cave. And in every one of them, we see the ease, or we see the wisdom coming through at the end. The other reason, and of course there are many reasons why we don't lose hope. Yani even if you look at how dua is designed, when you put your hands up to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates that you return your hands empty-handed. That means something will happen. Some good will come, either in this world or the next, either immediately or later. So how would someone from this ummah, with this understanding, ever lose hope in Allah Azza wa Jal? The other reason, and it's definitely not to downplay what is happening in Gaza and Lebanon and other parts of the world, but the truth is the ummah has been through a lot worse. If we just consider the Mongol invasion of Baghdad, and the Mongols had surrounded Baghdad from the east and from the west. From the east, they destroyed the Khwarizm Empire, which was composed of Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and Afghanistan. And the Abbasids were happy that the Khwarizm Empire was destroyed because they used to go to war with them and had issues with them. But now the Mongols surrounded them from the east. Then they went to the kings of Armenia or the Seljuk Turks, who had like little separated kingdoms, and they allowed them to come through their land as long as they stay out of the quarrel. Then they contacted the Christians and promised them, if they assist them, that they will give them Bayt al-Maqdis, even though Salah ad-Din had just freed it not too long ago. Then they contacted the Ayyubids, Yusuf al-Ayyubi and al-Ashraf al-Ayyubi, and they told them that, oh, again, allow us to enter through your lands and we'll leave you to run your kingdoms. And they agreed. Then they contacted non-Sunnis inside of Baghdad. And they told them, number one, to destroy the morale. And so they spread the news that the Mongols, their horses eat roots, which means their horses don't need nutrition, and that their women are fighters, and their men are the best fighters, and that they eat people. And so people felt that there is no way to resist them whatsoever. And then the Khalifa's right-hand man instructs him, as a sign of good faith, to destroy his weapons, dismantle his army, tear down his fortresses, and bury his trenches and ditches. And the Khalifa obliged, and he did that. And so when the Mongols entered, they, for 6 long weeks, were killing everyone indiscriminately, men, women, children, babies, little infants they were killing. And the killing continued, and not a single person lifted their hands to resist. And the lowest estimate says 1 million people were killed in Baghdad. The highest estimate says 1.6. 1 million people. Imagine. And the people who remained alive, they hid inside graves. And after the 6 weeks, Hulagu Khan, the commander of the Mongol army, he commanded all the rest of the Muslims who were alive to come out so they can clean the streets and remove all the dead bodies. And he and his army went out while they cleaned the city. Not to mention how they destroyed the libraries and everything. But if you went to Baghdad right now, if you visited Baghdad right now, would you know, if you hadn't read the history, would you know that this place was completely destroyed? That 1 million people were killed, and that's the lowest estimate? You wouldn't know, because Baghdad was rebuilt. Baghdad was repopulated, and Baghdad bounced back. The same way when you go to Hajj and Umrah, there was a time, about 319 after the Hijrah, when a group known as the Qaramita, the Qaramatians, they came under the leadership of this man, Abu Tahir, and they attacked the people during Hajj, and they killed the Hujjaj, the pilgrims, and they threw their dead bodies into the well of Zamzam, and they tore the curtain of the Kaaba, and they tore off the door of the Kaaba, and they stole the black stone, and Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says it was missing for 22 years. It was missing. And when it was found, they found only fragments of it. And he had, a'azzakumullah, he had his horse urinate into the well of Zamzam. And while he was doing all that, he kept saying, Aina at-tayr al-ababil? Aina at-tayr al-ababil? Where are the ababil birds, the ones that came and destroyed the army of the elephants of Abraha? Aina at-tayr min sijil? Where are the birds with the sijil, the stones? So he's mocking, but when you go to Umrah today, you won't, unless you read this history, you wouldn't even know that it was destroyed. You wouldn't even know that all this happened because it was rebuilt, because the Ummah bounced back from that. And in the same way, we know and we are certain that Gaza will bounce back. And this will not end them and this will not end the Ummah. The Ummah will bounce back. We just pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that we're able to see this with our eyes before we die. So the first thing is, don't lose hope. No matter how bad it looks, our ummah has been through worse and it made it and recovered and bounced back. And be patient. And losing patience is manifested in different ways. One, we start to turn on each other. Whatever we disagree upon politically, whatever view we have, we start to now completely turn on each other. We can't just see it as just a difference of opinion we have on one issue. We destroy the entire individual. So we turn on each other. Or we turn on our scholars and our imams and our khatibs, and everyone becomes an agent and a scholar for the dollar and a trader, and we continue like that. In one of the masajid here in Houston, one of my friends, a khatib, he said it was my turn to give the khutbah, and I came into the masjid, and a random person from the audience stood up, and he said, I'm going to give the khutbah. And he yelled at the khatib and told him to sit down. Then he yelled at the muezzin. Then he yelled at the masjid board and the masjid directors. And then he gave a khutbah where he yelled and lambasted and screamed at everybody. And then he forced everyone to follow him and led the salah. At the end of the day, what did you benefit? And how did you benefit the people of Gaza? And how many hearts did you win over? But this is a sign of the lack of patience, that we start to turn on each other, to turn on our leaders, to turn on our khatibs. And then worse, perhaps, is we start to turn on our religion itself. How many political analysts have you heard, Muslim political analysts, who said things belittling the studying aqidah, belittling studying Islam, belittling being righteous? One of the youth in our community came to me and he said, every time I speak to an imam or a sheikh, and to ask him what I can do to Gaza, for Gaza, besides what I'm already doing, he tells me, go and become a better Muslim. And he sees that as so impractical and so useless. طيب, let's look at it from the Quran. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, and you will have the upper hand. What's the condition? إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, if you are true believers. So that means if we have an ummah of 1.8 million and they're all true believers, then Allah Azza wa Jal will give us the upper hand. But I can't control everyone else, and I can't make anyone a true believer, so what can I control? I can control myself. So it is correct. Everyone work on yourself, everyone improve, and then collectively, that will be part of what gives the ummah the upper hand. Likewise, in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. The final end is for taqwa. In another verse, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the final end is for the muttaqeen, for the believers, for those who are God-conscious and God-fearing. So, to turn on the religion, which is what makes us unique, what makes us resilient, makes absolutely no sense. And you'll find other political analysts, one of the famous Arab speakers, and he was talking about how there was one book of fiqh, and then someone wrote an abridged form of that book. And then someone wrote a correction of that book. And then someone wrote a commentary on the correction. He's saying, look at what the ummah is wasting its time on. So he sees now understanding fiqh as a waste of time, and writing about this material as a waste of time. طيب, to a student who is studying fiqh and wants to become a faqih, how valuable are these series of books? And why would you come and belittle something that is important to his field and his field of study and his knowledge? But this is what happens. We start to turn on everything that we do, and there are even people who belittle studying aqidah, which is the only thing that makes us who we are. But this is all a manifestation of people losing patience. They start to turn on their leaders, turn on each other, and even turn on the deen, which is what makes them special and makes them resilient to begin with. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it, and to make us of those who recognize falsehood as falsehood and follow and avoid and abstain from it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. So we said, the first thing is to not lose hope. Because we were designed to never lose hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. And our history and the stories of the prophets and our Quran shows that victory always comes, ease always comes after hardship. And then we said that our ummah is resilient and strong and it has been through far worse and still bounced back and made it. And then we said, do not lose patience, and the manifestation of that is people turning on each other and their leaders and even turning on their deen itself. The things that we should be doing, it is probably the things that we're already doing. But sometimes you see people, yani they start to weaken in these areas. Yani for example, a lot of masajid stopped making dua in Qunut for Gaza or Palestine and for Lebanon. A lot of masajid stopped. It's in the first months, everyone was doing it. And then after a while, people's patience starts to wear off. But even in things that, let's look at the example of boycotting, which many of us do. And then some of us don't agree with it necessarily. Now here, it's important for us to respect each other's opinions. Yani, those who boycott, they become extreme, and they don't, yani, if someone drinks or is holding a container from a company that we should be boycotting, they make it look as if they left Islam and they attack them, and even publicly they attack them and shame them in front of people. That's one extreme. The other extreme, someone doesn't care about boycotting and then they come and belittle it. And what do you think? Yani, you think you're going to free Al-Aqsa because you just don't drink this drink or whatever, name the brand. So it's not like that. What's important here, brothers and sisters, is that even if I were convinced that boycotting didn't work, I would leave people alone. There are people in this community who lost 61 family members in Gaza. 61. And they're a hair away from cracking, a hair away from going into depression. And maybe they feel helpless. There's nothing they're doing to help their brothers and their family members. And the only thing that makes them feel good is the fact that they boycott. Even if it doesn't work, it makes them feel good. Leave them alone. To give an example, it's like the mask during COVID. Some people would refuse to wear it because it doesn't work, and scientifically, and the germ is mash'arif how big, the fiber is this big. Kalam da kullu. I would wear the mask even if I was 100% convinced that it's absolutely useless. I would wear it. You know why? Because the uncle next to me, who maybe has a weak immune system or some kind of condition, feels comfortable when I'm wearing it. Not everything is about what I believe. Not everything is about my opinion. It's about the community. It's about the collective feeling in the community. So if the mask will make the person next to me feel comfortable, even if I'm not convinced, I will do it just to make them feel comfortable. If you're not convinced with boycotting and someone next to you is extremely convinced, leave them be. You don't have to convert them to your side. If you're boycotting the person next, yani this is again an example of us tearing at each other because we disagree on one issue or another. I'll close with the last one. And that is, even though we all understand that the language of power here in America is voting, we don't really vote. A few months ago, a man came here to our community and he spoke to us after Jum'ah. He was a non-Muslim. He was running for something, I forgot, something related to the school board or the education. He's a non-Muslim, and it was his idea to make Arabic a second language that will be taught in Houston schools, public schools. It was his idea. Just like Spanish is taught as a second language, he wanted Arabic to be taught as a second language. And he came here, and he spoke at our first Jum'ah, and the room was packed. And he lost by 137 votes. He spoke to a room of 1,000 Muslims, and he lost by 137 votes. And then, Brother Nasrullah, not to call him out, yani he has access to find out exactly how many Muslims voted. And it's shameful. From our entire community, four Muslims voted. That's it. And the man could have won by a landslide. But only four of us bothered to vote. And yet we know this is the language of power and this is the language of politics. So these are the things that we have to become more aware of and better at as a community. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it. And to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah. Wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinabah. Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbar hammina. Wa la mablagha ilmina. Wa la ila al-nari masirana. Allahumma ansur ikhwanana fi Sudan. Allahumma ansur ikhwanana fi Lebanon. Allahumma ansur ikhwanana fi Gaza. اللهم احقن دماءهم اللهم احقن دماءهم اللهم احفظ ارواحهم واحفظ نساءهم واولادهم اللهم ثبت الارض يا رب من ثبت الارض من تحت اقدامهم اللهم ارفع عنهم البلاء وقوهم يا رب العالمين اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا اللهم ابرم لامه الاسلام امنا رشدا يعز فيه اهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله